Well, we're going back this morning. I entitled this A Covenant of Blessing, is looking at Abraham. And we're going to continue into this story. There's a lot of things. If I would say, lots of times, you know, in teachings, and I go on to things in teachings, this one here has been really different for me of the things that God has taken me through and speaks to me about concerning these things. And it's been really, for me, it's been very unique. About things and his emphasis on certain things. And one of the things that he has really emphasized we take ourselves, I know, like, you know, when I came into the kingdom, you know, and hooked up the spirit-filled people under Kenneth Hagin's ministry, and people call themselves, well, you know, word people, you know, and that's what we want to be. We want to follow the word. We want to do that. But, you know, the Lord's been really dealing with me about how much gets added to the word and how many people, you know, it's like Kenneth Hagin said this. He said, God gives you a word and you make a sentence. And, you know, it is easy to do. People come in their ideas. And what happens in this is the Lord has shown me we miss revelation by doing that. We do that, we miss revelation. Is number one, understand this about yourself. When you go over and you read scriptures, like we read Abraham, the Bible tells us the Old Testament really is a type and shadow of what was to come. The New Testament is the light of it. This is not a type and shadow. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of this thing. And you cannot measure the people back then from the revelation we have in the light. You know, years ago, numbers of years ago, the Lord had me teaching on the end times. He said he wanted me to teach some of the end times. And he said, I want you to go back to the book of Genesis. I want you to go there. He goes, and because the scripture says that he shows the end from the beginning. And he said, you're going to go back and look at the beginning and you're going to see the end back in the beginning. And I went back and I did. But the only reason I could is the revelation that I had in the New Testament. And see, one of the things that you need to be very careful, we can look into the Old Testament and we can see things, but they didn't see them. So you can't look at them and think of an inferior. They weren't. In fact, some of them did much better than Christians do today with the revelation they got. A lot of them did. Look what Abraham did. Look, he would obey God to go sacrifice his son. How many Christians do you think would do that today? One in a million? He wasn't even born again. He didn't have the Spirit of God living in him. It's funny, I hear people in ministry, they make, well, he made this mistake and he made that mistake. It's like, boy, they ain't got a clue. They haven't got a clue. But what happens with yourself, you need to be very careful, because what happens is God's been dealing with it on us is for your own sake. When your expectations of you or yourself is beyond your revelation, you're going to hurt yourself. You're going to cause yourself problems. You're going to hurt your own faith. See, it's one thing is you got to know, you're born again, you need to know yourself spiritually where you are. Not mentally, spiritually. What you can actually believe, what is an actual revelation to you? And this is what we want to look at. What is really a revelation to you? A revelation isn't something that you heard somebody teach. Although you may get a revelation from what they taught, or you may get nothing. Just because you heard somebody teach something, and you can even quote what they said, that don't mean you have a revelation of it. As I found out this over the years, that the majority of spirit-filled people don't understand divine healing very much. Not very good. The majority don't understand it at all. Yet it's been taught and taught and taught and taught. But yet people don't have a revelation. And see, when you get a revelation, this changes everything. What did God say? Do I believe what God is? Has God revealed that to me? Just going around and following something. I'm so glad I had a good teacher, Kenneth Hagin. He said, don't take something because I said it. You find out for yourself. Well, in other words, I had to go read and study to find out. It had to become real to me, not just something he said. And I found out things he said were true, but I made them real. They were for me now. They weren't just for him. And see, we marvel sometimes at what people do and what people go through. But if you get revelation, you can go through things. You can do things. And this is one of the things you have to know, what you can believe and what you can't. what you have revelation of and what you don't have revelation of. You need to know that. Nobody can do that for you. See, when Jesus said about teaching people, and he said, you know, these groups out here, I teach them in parables so they don't understand. Why? He knew they weren't going to try to check out to find anything. He's going to teach them parables. See, is number one, revelation comes from really being a disciple. You have to be a disciple. You can't be just a listener, somebody just listened. You have to be a disciple, follow, look out, you know. You're going to have to do this. And I want you to get that because you can, everybody starts off, we all start off as kids in the kingdom. You know, we start off and, you know, you're stumbling around, you're doing things, you're limited in revelation. But as like I've always said, I was always amazed what God did with the little revelation I had, what He'd do. But He did that because I just walked in the light that I had, it wasn't much. But what I walked in the light of, I'm just, when I look back, I'm just amazed what He did. It's like, my God, He was phenomenal. He just did wonderful. But see, I was a baby growing up.
Amen.
And then see, some people grow up and they look back and they see what God did and they pat themselves on the back. Wow, look what I did. No, you didn't. God was being nice to you, you big baby. But you, if you don't know that, you will stunt yourself in your growing. You'll hurt your own growth. You have to know what you can follow God in and you can't. But God is amazing. God is, he's never trying to put people under, He's trying to put people over. And He wants to reveal things to you and me. He wants to show us stuff. And as we look at this, we're looking at a progressive revelation when we're looking at Abram. This is a progressive revelation. Just think about this. You read scripture from creation till the flood. How much do you think those people knew? We read Bible doesn't really give us much information about the knowledge of God in that time. What did they know? But we look and we see at these people, boy, they did this and that. Do you know what they knew compared to what you knew? Do you know? No, you don't. See, when you measure against them, well, see, you'll carry that over in this life and you'll be judging people all the time when they maybe don't know something legitimately. They don't understand. Mm-hmm. They don't understand. But they need to know that about themselves too, because sometimes people are trying to trust God in something and they can't really trust Him. They don't know how to do it. But they're giving their idea of how it's done. The main reason that most Christians don't get prayers answered is because they really don't have a revelation. They know they even heard, like we can listen to words, testimony. But you know, it's what He went through and the revelation they have to walk in it. Somebody else just jumps and, you know, I'm going to do this and they'll go on and maybe it don't work out for them. If they don't have revelation to walk to where they can't expect naturally to end up. And see, we need to understand this about ourselves. If a person doesn't have revelation, you need to have a revelation. In other words, the faith comes by hearing the word. Just because you think God will do certain things don't mean God's going to do it. That's not faith. See, faith comes by hearing the word. And so we want to see this with Abraham. Because people make remarks about Abraham. And I've heard sermons taught and stuff at times. And it's just sort of, it's like, man, these guys are teaching a sermon. They ain't even shining a light on that man's life. And we, because why? We want to look at this. We learn by sitting down and listening when faith comes, what can I really believe? See, when Jesus said, if you say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and He says, do not doubt in your heart, but believe that those things that you say are going to come to pass. What? In your heart. He didn't say in your head, because I heard somebody else said you could do this, so I'm going to do it. He did this, so I'm going to do it. No, He said your heart. Faith is about your heart, what you can really believe. Do you know what you really can believe? You need a revelation. Whatever revelation you have, I don't care how little it is or what it is, you always cherish it. You treat revelation. If God took the time to reveal something to you, you ought to be paying big attention to it. You ought to treat it as something really valuable. This is what God did. You know, what's it good for Him to cause you to get born again? And then what He says after that, well, I'm just going around and get to heaven and live in this life, but never live in the glory God has for you. Just live like everybody else. You know? I want something better, don't you?
Amen.
I want something on this side that's better. I don't know why, but for the time I was a kid, I just loved the supernatural side of things.
Amen.
Do you know the world does too? And the church, I'm just going to tell you, this is why a lot of the world don't come to the church, because the church is dead. The church hides out from the supernatural, and I tell you, that's what God is. And see, they'll turn around and go watch movies and do all kinds of things that are supernatural stuff, because they like that stuff. But we offer them a dead God, and they want something better.
Mm-hmm.
Why? I found this out in life. The natural didn't help me much. The natural was killing me. I needed supernatural help. I needed help beyond me.
Amen.
So, and God gives that revelation. And we're going to look today what God did concerning Abram. And we're going to go to Genesis 16. We're going to look at this. And I want you to see it for yourself. Is, you know, the Bible, we're not supposed to measure ourselves against other people. Now, it's good to look. What I've always done, I've always looked to people who might know something more than me. Especially, there's some people, like, they'll have an area in their life I can see that they know more than I do in a certain area of, have revelation. So I want to find out what that is. You know, I might have areas of mine that I know more than they do. But there's areas they have. So you're always looking for somebody that's something that knows more than you. That's what you want to do. You want to go there. But we want to look at, as God reveals Himself, understand this about yourself. Revelation is always progressive. Always. You don't start off at the top. You don't start off at the end of a knowledge. It's just like when God brought me into understanding healing. He didn't bring me into the world I know now. That's not what he did. He, you know what? He was spoon feeding me, definitely. He was spoon feeding me. I started on the bottle, then we went to spoon feeding, and that's it. But in other words, but every bit of revelation added up. It was progressive. So I couldn't go to where I wanted to be till I got those revelations down here that took me to there. And we're going to find out. This is what God has been doing with Abram. God has been building in this man a revelation of who he is and what he does. And there's many things we need to understand this. He didn't know how to believe. There's much that is not said, so we don't accept the fact that you think he knew certain things when the Bible doesn't say he did. When we get over in that things, we get into things where people, just like, I know a minister that I really appreciate, love, and he does a good job in his teaching. I really like his stuff. But he went and said something. He made this statement. He goes, about something happening. He says, well, God can do whatever he wants. And everybody, you know, Christianity actually generally believes that.
Mm-hmm.
God can't. God doesn't. God has established His kingdom under rule and law, and He never breaks none of it. And all His decisions and wisdom come within the guidelines He has established. Because if He can ever just do what He wants, you have no place to trust Him.
Amen.
He established the guidelines so you can trust Him. Now, we don't know everything that He knows, but everything He knows and every wise things. You know, there's things that I look at in Scripture and I think, why did God do it that way? But see, I'm settled on the fact He had purpose, and He isn't doing it just I don't like it like this, so I'm going to do it. He's following within the guidelines that He has set. God sees the end, and He wants to arrive at this spot, and He's working and making His decisions on things I can't even see yet. I don't even understand yet. But He understands them, and He knows them. And you know what? I'm settled on this fact. Everything that He does is for my best interest.
Amen.
Always for my best interest.
Thank you, Lord.
I've thought times He should have done things a little different, and done it, but I'm going to tell you what, I've come down to this fact.
Amen.
He's always looking out for Ed's best interest.
Yes.
And if you don't know that, you're never going to arrive at a great faith. He's wise. And if I got any wisdom, it had to come from Him, because I sure didn't invent it. I didn't invent wisdom. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
I can tell you about my past life, and you'd say, yeah, he didn't have no wisdom. He's stupid, dumb as a stick. Say, if I made a mistake, I'd do it 10 times. How often can we do it? Glory to God. But we start off here because we want to look at something going on. We have the last time God visited Abraham. He's still Abram. Actually, he didn't get his covenant name yet. Started him out there. But God visited him and established a covenant. God told him that he was going to have an heir from his body.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want you to understand going in this. He never told him that Sarah was going to have a child. Never. Up to this point, he has never mentioned it. So, the story that goes on, you need to understand, they're walking by the faith they have and what they know. So people say, well, you know, Abraham shouldn't have done with it. I'm sorry. He can only walk by the knowledge he has. He can't walk by knowledge he don't have. God didn't, you're going to find out, God never criticizes him one time or ever brings up in Scripture one time, even through the New Testament, of him making a mistake in what he did here. The only people who do that are people that don't know God. See, we can't judge him. It is unfair, and actually it's unrighteous to judge him on the basis of knowledge we don't know. Don't do that. Because what happens? I will tell you this. The devil will talk you into judging yourself on things of knowledge you don't know, but you'll judge yourself on it, and after a while you'll destroy your own faith. Oh, the devil's ugly. The devil does this all the time to people. Well, if you were a good Christian, or you were this, or you made it, and you're walking in the knowledge you got, believe me, I know, I walked in this. I know. You know, you can end up judging yourself and shooting yourself right in the foot and hurting your own faith and your own development. And so you need to learn this. This is why you need to pay attention. I watch Christians repent for stuff they didn't even do wrong. But the devil and people got them talked into it. There ain't nothing wrong. I was in a church, and you know, I've heard people say, well, I ask God to forgive me every day of the sins I don't know I did. Well, how do you confess a sin you don't know you did? You know what? That is demonic. That does nothing but put you in a mode that you're always bad before God. You can't ever think you're righteous and have that kind of thinking. The church world's full of people that I've heard so many preachers say that kind of stuff. And I think, dear God, those poor guys, the devil's run their life every day. The first thing they get up in the morning is repent for the evil they didn't know they did. Can you imagine going into court and say, Lord, Judge, I want to confess for all the murders I did yesterday. Well, which one did you do? I don't know, just in case if I did one. And you know what they think? You're an idiot. And you know what? Christians are idiots. It's good preaching.
I know.
Don't do these things to yourself. Amen. Don't do these things. You know if you did something wrong, you know it. You don't need to somebody to find. You know, I will get a kick up. People say, "Well, do you think I did this and was wrong?" Say, "You know it was wrong. That's why you came and talked to me." What are you talking about? You would. Mm-hmm. We don't need no discussion. Yeah. No, we're going to shoot you for it. Repent. There you go. Get that thing fixed. We're thinking about the blood. Does the blood take care of it or not?
Amen.
You know, just get washed. You know, we were singing about the blood cleansing you, but you know. I'm just going to tell you scripture accuracy. The blood cleansing use is for the Christian. It's not for the world. The world don't get cleansed. The world gets saved. I got saved. I got a new creation. I didn't get cleaned up. Amen. I got changed. Amen. And now that I'm a Christian, if I sin, I need washed up. The church has it actually reversed. They throw the two of them together, and it's not. No, 1 John 1:9 is for the church. What? Cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's where the blood still works for us today. That's not for the world. The world don't need clean. They need to get shot and reborn. Hallelujah. You know, God killed the dumb head and gave me a new one. Glory to God. I needed to be a new head. And so we start off here in verse 1, and it says, now Sheree, this is Abraham's wife, it says, had borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, see now, he said, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go to my maid, perhaps I shall obtain children through her. And Abraham heeded the voice of Sarai. So then Abraham's wife took Hagar to her maid. Then the Egyptian gave her to her husband Abram and to be his wife after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. So this comes up to this time. Now see, people come along and they say this, well, you know, he shouldn't have done this. Now hold it. They're walking in the knowledge you have. God didn't tell him at this time Sarah was going to have a child. He just told him, you're going to have a child from your womb. Now, we need to understand this. This was common practice in their culture today. This is the common practice. This is what they commonly did. God has never told him it was wrong to do. Do you know, we don't even have, and from a scriptural standpoint, intermarriage, even like Sarah, understand, this guy's married to his stepsister. And God never even changed that till the law came along and then told him about marriage and intermarriage. But what is sin to do? Well, there's no law, there's no sin. The Bible says that. Church don't read that part. You know, they just invent their stuff as they go along. In fact, the New Testament isn't even against having two wives. Did you know that? It's not against it. The New Testament only speaks of somebody standing in a ministerial office is not supposed to have another wife. They're one wife. But don't say the people can't. Because a lot of the cultures they were in, people had more than one wife. They never spoke against it. It was only to the leaders. If you want to be a pastor, you're going to be somebody, then it says you only have one wife. But it doesn't say it. See, we've made up so much in Christianity, we just have a big time at it. You know? We sit down and read the Word. Now, I don't want two wives. I got one that wears me out. But you understand that their cultures and producing children and stuff and things is a big thing. And this was common. In fact, you find out, we look at Abraham's grandson, Jacob. His two wives. You know, they both gave their maids to Jacob to produce children for them. They both did. God never spoke against any of that. Out of all those children came the ones, the 12 tribes of Israel. Huh? You see, people don't... The church is really shallow in many ways in our thinking about what God did or how God thought. God never spoke against none of this, never said nothing. So, but we carry our society back and judge them and look at that. Well, they shouldn't have done this and they shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't be opening your blab mouth. That's what you shouldn't be doing. These people are walking. Abram's walking in the knowledge that he has. And we're going to find out what God does in this situation as we go along. God never criticizes him, never criticizes Sarah, or, you know, on none of this. Never. Never says anything and points to the future. Like these people say, well, if he wouldn't have done that, we wouldn't have all these Arab nations against him today. That's the biggest bunch of junk you've ever heard in your life. That's made up by men. It ain't been made up by... You know what? I'm just going to tell you. God don't like this stuff being said. He don't like the church. Because we've made up our own ideas. And what happens when we have our ideas, it's hard for God to bring His revelation across so we can change things. Because we are always have our idea. Right now, one of the biggest moves of God is among the Arabs.
Yep.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, and this, we need to walk in the light of this. So, what happens? And she gives it to him. So, there's a problem rises up. It says in verse 4, so it said, he went to Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. Then Sheri said to Abram, hey, my wrong be upon you. I gave my maid into your embrace. And when she saw that she had conceived, I became despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between you and me. So she comes along and said, I did this, but we're going to blame it on you. That's typical people do, don't they?
Yes.
That's right. Did he decide this? No. She didn't like outcome. This is your fault. Isn't that funny? I mean, you look at this thing, and she goes, let God judge between me and you. And, you know, but you know what? Abraham don't argue with her, because he's had arguments with her before, and he knows no more. He knows no more. Just forget it. He knows. Let her blow wind.
Yeah.
I've been there before. Tomorrow she'll be on another thing. Am I meddling? I just think it's hilarious whenever I read that. I've never heard anybody bring this stuff up, but I've read, I for years read this, I thought, isn't amazing? She throws this on him. You did it. No, but Abraham, he's smart. He did throw it back on her. Like, you know, why are you telling me about this? He goes, and Abraham said to her, Sarah, Sheree, indeed, your maid is in your hand. Do to her as you please. And when Sheree dealt harshly with her, she fled from her presence. So, what happens here? Abraham says, hey, hold it. This isn't mine. It's Jesus, you. If you want something done, you do it. See, you get that people all the time. They know something needs done and they're always looking for somebody else to do it. This is her problem. And she tries to push it on him and he's a smart man. I ain't going there. I got enough to take care of. Do you know what? One of the smart things that he did here, if Abraham would have stepped in and dealt with it, she would have still never respected her. You need to understand this. You deal with what you got to deal with. You don't get somebody else. Amen. As if I had this when Wanda and I, we first, you know, with the kids and that stuff as our kids got along going. I'd come home from work, and Wanda knows that she's heard me tell this story a number of times. I'd come home from work, and she'd always say, well, the kids this and kids that and kids that. One day I come home, and she said, well, the kids did. And I said, what'd you do? She hadn't done nothing. I said, don't you ever tell me about it again. If you didn't do nothing, I said, I ain't going to be the bad guy in the house. If you ain't going to correct him, you ain't going to deal with it. I said, they're here with you. I said, do they do that when I'm around? No. I said, why? Because Daddy deals with it. And I said, they know they can get away with it with you. And I said, until they find that out. See, mamas always want to be, I won't be like, Daddy, you be the heavy. You know, you shoot them and they like me because I put the band-aids on. I just, I said, you better get your gun, honey. And they come for me, I'll shoot them again. So they learned, but you know, Wanda was wise. She got on to it. You know what? They respected her. See, I would like I go to these, you know, these so-called marriage seminars, and they, you know, they sort of divide this stuff. And the guy's supposed to be the heavy. No, no, they do something around you. You deal with it.
Preach,
amen.
You deal with it. You be the one.
Preach.
You know, my mama didn't wait till Daddy come home. She could whip us quickly. And we respected Mama, you know. Mama, get a hold of you. And then you didn't want Mama to tell Dad because there'd be another one. We're going to get robbed too. But there was a lot of things she didn't have to tell Dad. She knew how to correct things, and she corrected stuff. And, you know, and that's why it's both sides. You know, you can have it the opposite. There's guys, you know, they're sort of out of it over here, and they aren't doing... And, you know, it's team. It's like that there, you know, tag team wrestling, you know.
Yes.
You got over there. You know, one of them's in the ring and knock them down, tag the other person, let them come in and beat them a while. That's what we got. We got a tag team. Well, they knew we worked together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And see, you have to have that. Because, see, if somebody can get away with something, if somebody can get away with something, and this is what happens. You have a division, and then what happens if one parent ain't dealing with it? After a while, they're not in agreement, and the kids know it. You know, if I told the kids you were not to do something, Monda didn't turn around and say that they could do it. If they came and asked, what'd your dad say? Did you talk to Dad? See, if I said no, it was no.
Amen.
It wasn't a matter who agreed. If they she didn't like it. Just like if she said no to something, that was it. It was no to something.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'll tell you this, if they find out, that they can go to one another and get a different answer.
Mm-hmm.
They'll play you all the time and don't complain about the way they turn out. You did it.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
You don't play those games. You know, Mama said no. It was no to me. I was just it. Mama said no. That was it. It wasn't a discussion how I felt about it. Well, I think it ought to be this way. I think you ought to mind your own business. That's what I think it is. We raised kids and didn't have all the problems. We went through and they said, oh man, they get in their teens. And you got trouble with teens? It's because you've been in trouble.
Come on.
My teen girls weren't trouble around me. Mm-hmm. And they didn't go to school and cause a bunch of trouble. They didn't cause a bunch of trouble anywhere. Because they had to come live with this guy. And you know what? We didn't have to beat them or anything. We taught them a good life, a life that works. And they learned to respect authority. They learned that. And it's paid for them in their lives.
Yes.
It works for them in their lives. They grow up.
Yep.
Amen.
They don't need somebody else to take care of them. Somebody looking after them all the time. And somebody having to make all the decisions.
Mm-hmm.
They know how to do it. And so, you want to make wise decisions, they got to be raised wise.
Amen.
They have to do that. Or they won't make wise decisions. And so, really, with our girls, even in their teens, we could allow them to make decisions on things because we saw the maturity in them. They could, that most teens today, I'd never give them the opportunity to make decisions on things. There's most people probably in their 30s, I wouldn't let them make any decisions. And I'm not kidding about that. People are just, they're terrible. Things have been raised terribly. And really, it comes from families. I worked as a corrections officer in Lebanon County Prison. And I want to tell you what, when they would have visitation day and parents would show up, I'd always say this, we got the wrong people locked up here. Because the parents are the problems. When you'd see what parents do and act and things are coming in, you'd say, man, this kid ain't got a chance. He got that idiot living with all their life.
Amen.
This person is causing, don't deal with them. And here they are. You got to deal with people.
Amen. Preach.
Deal with your kids. Man, I don't want my kids in prison locked up.
That's right.
Had one brother went to jail one time. He went for an overnight job, and I'll never forget it happened. And because they called and he got in trouble. Some guys that my dad had told him to stay away from him, and he didn't. And they got in some trouble, and they got locked up. And they called my dad and said, "Buddy's in jail." Dad said, "Let him sit there."
Right.
And Mama, I'll never forget this. My mom cried. My dad didn't cry at all. Best thing, you know what? Okay, Mama would have went and got him out.
Yeah.
But my mom didn't have to, Dad didn't. And you know what? He never got in trouble again. Because my dad talked to him and said, "Over, you go back again, you stay."
Mm-hmm.
He finally understood, hold it. This thing ain't going to work out that I'm doing there.
Amen.
Dad said, "Stay away from those people. I guess I better. Because Dad ain't come and bail me out."
Amen.
My mama would have. And I tell you, I'll guarantee you, he'd have done it again.
That's right. Amen.
This is good preaching.
Amen.
See? My dad brought it to a halt really good. Blessed his life. My brother turned out great.
Amen. God.
He just passed away. He's almost 92 years old. Just passed away. But he had a life. I mean, he was good. Good worker. Goodness. You know, always took care of himself. Did very well in life.
Amen.
And see, things dealt with way back yonder. You don't let them fester, you know. And that's just one thing. See, people let stuff fester over time, you know. And what happens? It turns out bad.
Mm-hmm.
Most times people do that for their sake and not for their kid. I don't want to think, my people know my kid was in jail. If they belong there, put them in.
Amen. Say it again.
Put them in. There's a lot of importance in this thing. Well, don't blame somebody else. Hallelujah. Don't be a Sarah. Now, we want to find out. We're going to look at something here that's really interesting in this story. Because we want to see God is working and moving here. God has a plan. Man thinks this is all a bad thing that happens. You know, because, you know, this Ishmael, you know. People say, oh, don't have an Ishmael. What do they mean, don't have an Ishmael? We're going to find out God named Ishmael. Abraham didn't. God named him before he named Isaac. God named him. See, we want to go into this and look at this because this story is not like we tell it. We need to tell it according to the Bible. This is God's. God is working in this thing. This is an offspring of Abraham. He's under Abraham's covenant, his agreement with God. It's who he's under. See, we understand covenant very little. And this is why people struggle with faith. Because they don't understand covenant. God blessed, do you think, Jacob's sons, those idiots. Why? Because he had made a covenant. And in spite of their stupid... See, God don't deal with, God don't bless you because you're so darn bright.
Amen.
I think sometimes He does it in spite of you.
Amen.
He has with me.
Amen.
Why? It's because of covenant. God saved my life because of my dad walking in a covenant. It put me in the ministry. All this came about because my dad walked in a covenant. See, you ought to be always thankful for those who walked in the covenant before you. Because a good chance you wouldn't be in it had not someone along the line. The majority of the people that come in the covenant because somebody was in the covenant and got you into. And God blessed you in spite of the condition you were in because of the covenant they were in, and you were their offspring.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank God.
Amen.
So I'm so thankful that my parents were Christians. I am just so thankful that they were Christians. Wow, it saved my life.
Amen.
It saved my life. Now we go on here, it says, now Hagar runs off and it goes on. It says, now the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, where have you come from? Like, you know, he didn't know, you know, he knew. He's just trying to get her to talk. He said, and where are you going? She said, I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress, Sarai. She said, the angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand. Well, let me tell you what. She was treated bad because she did bad. How many people are running today because they don't like what's happening in their life because of what they did? Christians do that. Go back and submit yourself. Hallelujah. I don't know, maybe you guys never had to do that, but I've done that. I have had to go back and submit myself. But sometimes you don't like to. You know, is one of the things that I found out, and I another story I tell you guys about this and going back and submitting, is when I was at Rhema, and I was working in a grocery store, a meat department, but the boss didn't treat me right. But you know what? By what I was doing, I was doing the work he told me to, but I really wasn't in submission. My heart wasn't in this thing. And you need to know this. See, you can sit around and talk about, you know, don't do right. You can go to work and do the right things, but hate doing the right things the whole time you're doing. I'm going to tell you, it's just one thing the Lord said to me years ago. He said, attitude's everything. You can go do right all day long, but your attitude stinks in it. God don't even consider you did right. See, I found this out. How to change my stinking attitude. I had a stinking attitude. Well, God didn't change it by beating me up, but he talked to me about it. And I realized what I had to do was while I'm here working for this man, I need to submit. I need to stop the griping and moaning. I need to stop this stuff. And I need to get... See, this is where it... Submission. Why? When I got myself submitted... Then God responded to me. See, as long as you're not in submission to your authorities, don't pray about God doing things, because you're going to have trouble. See, you can't be in rebellion and expect God to answer your prayers to fix your problem with individuals. Mm-hmm. It ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. I mean, it's just submission. Mm-hmm. See, and I learned this over time. I found out this is true. It's learned because... You're going to always in life have to be in situations with people that are not good. That's it. Well, how am I going to deal with this thing? What am I going to do? You know, she causes trouble and says, yeah, she treated me bad. Well, you did bad. Oh, you need to go back here. It's number one, God's not doing this. As long as she's in rebellion, that child isn't going to be blessed. See this? This is what's going to happen. See, God had a plan. That child is Abraham's offspring. And God told Abraham, he's going to bless his offspring. He told him that. This is his offspring. So what? God is obligated by covenant to bless him. So what's God doing? God's chasing after her to bring him back. I got to bless him because that's Abraham's kid. How much has God chased you around? Trying to get you in the right place so he can bless you. I know he's chased me some. I probably outran all of you. But anyhow. Folks, but you need to understand. understand God in covenant, if you don't understand how this works, just think, for 30 years I lived like hell and doing stuff, and God, because of my father in covenant, really in a sense, chased after me to take care of me because he wanted to bless me because of my father in the covenant.
Amen.
And this is what's happening here. And see, when people teach this stuff and don't understand God and don't know God, they talk about, no, they shoot their own self in the foot because they will measure against themselves in the same way they judge them. Now, most people today say, Sarah, she had never treated her like that. She did the right thing. Did God rebuke her? Did God rebuke Sarah for what she did? No. You get back over there and submit. Why? There's a blessing in this thing. And so, to go back and submit, we're going to find out God has a plan here, and the plan is blessing. God's not against her. God's trying to get her into position so she will be blessed and her offspring will be blessed because they're under the Abrahamic covenant God has made. And see, that's what I want you to see, that you're under the covenant that God established, that God carried out in fulfillment of Abraham's covenant through Jesus Christ. What a covenant is. If God would do such things under that covenant, what would he do for you in this one?
Amen.
See, that's why a submission and doing these things, it's not to, never to hurt us. It's to put us in a position for the blessing of the covenant. That's what it always is. God is a covenant. It is a covenant of blessing. That's what it is. It's not a covenant of judgment. It's a covenant of blessing.
Amen.
And you've got to always see that. God's trying to change me in something. It is because he desires to bless me.
Amen.
Because it's the covenant of blessing. And that's what I'm in. And that's what he loves to do. You know, as a young Christian, the Lord spoke to me how much he loved to bless his people and heal them. How much he loves to do that. That's him. That's his nature. He can't have another nature. That's his nature. His blessing. That's what he wants. Hallelujah. And sometimes, see, in our ignorance, we may run from it. But it's because of our ignorance. We don't know. And so, I believe God, and I tell you, I think God's bringing some of these things out in Scripture because God wants to take the church further.
Amen.
We're not going to get where we want to be in this last day move of God with the church in the condition it's in and its limited knowledge.
Amen.
I think, dear Lord, how do we pass all this stuff up just as dumb as a stick? We need to see and understand what God's doing, his great wisdom. He's so much fun. We're trying to get him to deal with other people, but I realize he needs to deal with me. And he can get dealing with me, he could change some things.
Amen.
You know, the people I'm mad at, you know what he does want to bless them? Now that's hard for us to stomach. You don't know what they did to me. He wants to bless them anyhow. So he goes on, he said, submit to her. Verse 10, then he said, and the angel of the Lord said to her, I will multiply your descendants exceedingly, so that they shall not be counted for multitude. Why? She has to go back and submit to have this happen. You've got to get back there. Why? This is the blessing of Abraham. How's Abraham's blessing? All this in multitude? I forget. This carries. This carries on everybody. This is the covenant. Go back there. Get under submission to the ones in the covenant. Then you're under the covenant. Get back there. Get it hooked up to this. You go run off to something else. Ain't time for you to run off to something else. There'll be a day at will. God will say to do it. But he'll go off in blessing. Now. So the angel of the Lord said to her, behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction. So God names the child. God does. It just seems weird to me. Abraham made a mistake here and God names the kid. What did he name him? Abraham's mistake? I'm just glad God didn't name everything after my mistakes. I'd have a book loaded with names. I just... Hallelujah. But see this. When we look at the people, I mean, when you take around, you know, God names Jesus when he's born. He names John the Baptist. He named Ishmael. And the church looks at the, today, at the Arab nations, is like, oh, this is the most terrible thing that ever happened. They don't look like God looks. They don't see. Jesus died for everyone. His blood was shed for everyone. It's one
right.
of them.
That's right.
And they're the offspring of Abraham. See, all spring Abraham fight amongst each other a lot, don't they? Hallelujah. This is why, I see, you get people to become Christians and they come to knowledge. Christians should come to the knowledge of the truth on these things, and they haven't. And so, but we want to walk in that. So God has a blessing. He names the child, call his name Ishmael. And then he says this. He said, he shall be a wild man. His hand shall be against every man and every man against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Then she called the name of the Lord, on the name of the Lord, who spoke to her, you are the God who sees. For she said, have I also been, also here seen him who sees me? Therefore, the well was called Beer-Lahai. Roi observed it as between Kadesh and Bered. It says, listen, so Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram named him whom Hagar bore Ishmael. So, and it's really interesting, God must have spoke to him about it, that he went along and did it, because the man usually did the naming of the man did. So God must have spoke to him about this. So it says, Abraham was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abraham. So at Abraham, so we look at this, he's 86. He's been in the land now, he came in at 75 and he's 86, and up to this point, this is what's happened. And if you go to the next one, you find out, now this is one thing is you need to know about distances in time and chapters, because the next chapter, he's 99 years old. So 13 years have passed in between that time. So we need to, lots of times we read and we go from chapter to chapter, this is the, you know, just going, no, it's not. So the revelation between that time period, we don't know what God has said to them between this time period. But we know this for a fact. The Lord spoke to me specifically a number of times about this. When you teach this, you teach it by what the Word says and not what people have said about it. See, much is said that isn't revelation was brought to them. So we can't carry our revelation, lay it on them and teach it. We can see things from our side over here because of what we see. But what we see is for us, it wasn't for them. So we can't lay it on them. And you don't want to do that, because you'll eventually, the devil will join in with you and lay things on you that ain't yours. And you buy it and it hurts your life. And you want to be very, very careful about that. See, God has a plan of blessing, and I want you to get this, because see, if you learn to judge yourself rightly, then you're going to find out your spiritual growth. See, I had to learn that. I didn't judge myself properly sometimes when I first started off. Then is one of the incidents that I tell about. I got over when I was just a young Christian. And, you know, I had great expectation of myself. I was getting really good teaching. I was listening to a lot of teaching. I had probably everything within a couple of years after I got born again. Up to that time, I probably had everything Brother Hagin ever put out in tape. And at that time, there were tapes. So we didn't have CDs, and we didn't have, you know, thumb drives. We didn't have nothing like that, you know. We didn't have phones, these phones and that stuff. And we got spiritual. We could get spirit. Didn't have to have a phone to get spirit. Anyhow, but we had those, and we didn't have anything. But I got over into things, and see, I'm listening a lot, I'm hearing a lot of things, but there's a lot I can't walk in. No, I'm hearing a lot of stuff. It's really good. There's stuff I'm learning to walk in. There's stuff, I'll tell you what, in that period of time, it is amazing some of the miraculous manifestations that happened through me. I mean, it used to astound me. I mean, I used to, things would happen. But it wasn't because I was so super spiritual, but I got revelations of things. Sometimes I didn't know exactly how it operated, but I'd just go step out into it, and remember what God did. And things would happen, I'd go, my God. I was like Gomer Powell. Golly. Ain't that something? God taught me through those things to trust Him. There's this thing you need to know. God just doesn't teach by word. He will teach you through the experiences of the word. See, God taught me in the areas of healing. One of the things it is, by manifestations concerning healing that took place that inspired my faith. Which really, I operated in a level of faith, but not according to the manifestation took place. And what it did do, it raised my ability to believe. See, it's like this. In the natural, you're not going to become good at anything you do till you learn to actually practice it and do it. See, why do they have apprenticeships and stuff and things? They have that for purposes. Why? The person learns to be good at something by doing it, not just sitting and getting information. See, we're an information society with loads of people, with a majority of our population, dumb as a stick when it comes to doing. They don't know how to do things. They have information. I learned this. I could have information, even scriptural information, but I really didn't know how to apply it. And it wasn't until actually I saw how it worked when I started to get to operate in it. And I thought, oh man, I thought God was talking about this, but it wasn't. See, I was measuring according to my knowledge. It's like this. If you never saw a tree before, and somebody explained to you what a tree looked like, say a pine tree, and would try to tell you, you're going to only think of that in mind in the knowledge base that you have. You can't imagine it anything. You can't imagine any. You can sit and try to imagine heaven all you want. You cannot imagine heaven any differently than you think. Than the knowledge you have to think with. You can't. Some people have my knowledge of heaven has grown from a spiritual standpoint, has grown over the years. And when I think of heaven, I tell you what, I think wholly different about it than I did when I started off. Totally different. Why? Well, because of experience in spiritual things, God operates it. I'm going to be more like this. But I'm going to tell you, when Ed gets there, he's going to be shocked. How wonderful. My God, I thought it was going to be good. I had no clue. It's going to be this good. Woo! Perfection is hard to get your head around. But understand this thing. See, God's working this way. He's bringing you up in areas. And it's just like he was doing with me with this thing. And back, what I did is I messed up. But I messed up according to what I understood. Which really wasn't, God had to show me, my understanding wasn't so good. So what happens was, I'm putting myself down. And I'm thinking, I know this and I know that and I should have done better about this. And I got all this feeling bad about myself. I got to the point, I was on the bedroom floor laying out flat on the bedroom floor in my stomach, literally crying before God about missing stuff and saying, I knew this and that. And I'm going on. And I'm serious, I'm laying there on the floor. And I tell you what, I'm thinking, oh, Ed, am I ever going to grow up? And I didn't, you're starting off and you want to just grow up overnight. And I watch people do that. And, it's one thing is it taught me that how little I understood things is to be very careful about thinking you're going somewhere when you ain't got anywhere yet. And I'm laying there, and this voice says to me, and it says, speaks, and I hear this voice, and it says, "Your heart's perfect before me." And I thought, that's the devil. Because, see, I've done all these things. I thought, the devil's trying to trip me up here. Your heart's perfect. Well, I bypassed that. Well, I don't know why. I've had these experiences over my Christian walk with God trying to deal with me on something. And it usually comes in threes almost all the time. I don't know why. It usually takes him at least three times to finally get Ed to go, oh, he's talking to me. And three times this happened. This said, and each time I went back over and I thought, this is the devil trap. I've done this wrong and I've done that wrong. And finally, the Spirit of the Lord said this to me. He said, "Your heart is perfect toward me." He said, "You love me with all your heart." Well, see, one of the things he'd done, I'm judging myself according to outward. And what I've done, we have this, and you need to watch this because this happens all the time. I've heard this used in sermons. They take an Old Testament scripture and says, your heart's always to do evil. That's an Old Testament scripture speaking to people dead spiritually. You won't find that scripture in the New Testament. Is why? Because if your heart's only to do evil, you're not born again. You're not a child of God. There was nothing the matter, see, with my heart. I'm stumbling around because of I'm listening to my head. I'm listening, doing what I'm doing from my head. My heart's not even in this thing. And the Lord says, you love me with all your heart. And that's the first I stopped. I looked, I thought, yeah, I do. And then he said to me, quit judging yourself after the flesh. He went on to tell me, see, I'm doing that. I'm just hurting myself. I'm dizzy. I'm doing something, judging me not by what I really am. And when I finally I saw that, it really changed things for me. Because, see, God is viewing. God's looking at us from our hearts. Now, you as a Christian, you can go along and keep walking in stupid stuff and get it, and end up getting stupid stuff in your heart. You don't want to do that. You want to keep your heart clean before God. Keep your heart good. It's number one. You do that. But when I looked at that thing that day, I thought, my God, I love him with all my... I do. I love him with all my heart. I really do. But see, I didn't... I see people do this. They're trying to overcome, and they're judging all that they are on the outside, the outer man. They're judging themselves on their limited knowledge, the things that they did. They don't, people confess their sin and then live like it's never gotten fixed. They're not living out that inner man. The power to succeed is on the inside. That's where the Holy Spirit's at. The power for you to succeed and overcome is on the inside, is what's in you. See, judging yourself wrong. It's just like here. When people judge Abraham wrong. See, God is dealing with that man according to his knowledge and what that man walks in out of his heart. And God's happy with it. And this is one thing, is I know this. Most of Christianity, man, we must not really understand our own hearts. What's going on in us? And we need to be better at this. Of knowing on the inside. Walking in the light of the inside. We need to be careful sometimes with other people. What do they really know? What do they really know what we are judging to do? Because what happens, when I was a young Christian, I was amazed at all the wonderful things God did for me. Today, people think with, you know, as a young Christian, they're not expect of God to be able to do a whole lot. You know, until they grow up. You know, I taught gifts of the Spirit for about 6 years in Bible school. And I'll tell you what, I could not stand what the Word people were teaching. Because they didn't teach the Bible. It's all this. When you get real spiritual, then God will use you. Well, I said, may never happen. And I used to always read them the scripture. God, you know, Paul said to the Christians, you come behind a bunch of carnal Christians. You come behind and no gifts. I said, God don't operate gifts because you're so spiritual. He does it because he's God. I said, if you have to get real spiritual for God to manifest gifts, you probably will never grow up. Thank God gifts operating really helped me in a lot of ways. Words of knowledge came to me, changed my life. Manifestations of the Holy Ghost. See, you need to change the way you think. If you don't have manifestations of gifts, you're not operating in the Spirit. You're not operating out of your Spirit. Now, I'm not saying to criticize them. They will operate. God will give you wisdom and understanding if you will yield over to it. He will. He'll get you over to it. And you need it. I need it. From the time I was a baby Christian, when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, manifestations of the Holy Ghost started through me. And I thought, this is the most wonderful thing. I'm picking up things from God I had never picked up before. Understand now. Things that help me go on. But see, we've taught people that you arrive to the epitome of something, and this is the whole thing. Then this is what happens to people. They come to the place, they rise to the epitome. And I always watch the people rise to the epitome. They never operate against the Spirit. I'm just as smart, I know it all. No, I'm still dumb as a stick, and I need the Holy Ghost. God wants to manifest Himself through you supernaturally. That's what He wants to manifest. He wants to give you wisdom and understanding through manifestations of gifts. He'll bring words of wisdom, words of knowledge to you that'll help you, that'll protect you. There's situations that you will never get into if you will listen. He'll give you a word of knowledge that'll keep you out of trouble. God gave me a word of knowledge sometimes to stay away from certain people. Mm-hmm. And yet, they were people that other major amount of Christians were really promoting as really being something. And then some time later, we found out, boy, they shouldn't have been promoted to nothing. But God knew and protected me. And I didn't get involved in with the other people. That happened time and time again. I learned one time. First time I did it, I missed it. I was a young Christian standing in a church. Good church, filled with the Holy Ghost, people going on. A Rhema graduate, I didn't know at that time, and his wife come in, come down the pew, we're worshiping going on, and they come in late, they come down through, walked out, got in the pew before us, and up inside of me it rose up, stay away from him. And I'm thinking, why would I think that about this guy? See, this is the first time this happened, I just got filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm thinking, why would I think that? I didn't know this guy, you know? So, you know what, dumb end? He ain't listening to what's on the inside. He's going by his mind. And I'm asking God to forgive me for thinking a bad thought about that guy. And you know what? After a big mess with that guy, and then I had to repent because that, I had got involved, you know, sounded good. He's a Rhema graduate. I'm going to tell you what. Hey, I love, there are lots of wonderful people have come out of Rhema and done wonderful things. But he wasn't one of them. But God told me, because he's a mess with his life, he'd, you know, beat up his wife and all kind of stuff, things going on and things like that going on and this stuff. This guy, you know, that's why you don't throw labels on people, you know, or just bad because it has a label on it, you know. Like Brother Higgins said, you can put anything in an empty can. You could write labels on them all you want. But see, that was my first time that happened, and I want to tell you what, I'm going to guarantee this. I have never missed it since. Say, you perfect at this? I got good at that. I missed it that time, caused me enough problems that I ain't going back through that again. I'm going to tell you what, you've had problems come up in your life, and you didn't realize you've been the problem. You need to listen on the inside. Thoughts of you come up about staying away from stuff, and you didn't because everybody else is okay with it. But I learned. I learned about, see, I had one, this happened one time, you know, I go in, first time, long, Rhema pastor has a ministry, you know, and his ministry has this, you know, ministers group that meets and that stuff and things, and I mean, he's, you know, really well known Rhema and that stuff, but in his group, his church, first time I attend these meetings, there were all ministers there. It's a big group of ministers, large group. And they're up there blowing their horn, and this guy from down in Mexico and his ministry and how wonderful he is and everything else, and they're going through this. They're going through this health, and when they're done talking, you know, and there's this guy here, and his best thing, the rice bread, and, you know, his ministry. The Spirit of the Lord, something just come up, he wasn't right. This guy walked, I don't know if God arranged it or not, but this guy, when they're done, the first part of the meeting was over, he walked back through and walked right up to me and put his hand out to shake my hand and said, you need to come down to Mexico with my ministry. And the Lord said, you stay away from him. Mm-hmm. Oh, and they're all patting him about, this guy's a big guy. Well, 2 years later, they found out this guy wasn't a big guy at all. He was a big fraud. That same ministry did it with another minister on a ministry in India. And see, this guy had a school, he'd have like an average of 400 or more students, you know, it's a good sized Bible school there in India. And this guy would always ask me to come to India to teach, because he knew I taught in Bible schools and stuff, and he'd always ask me to come and teach, and the Lord would never let me go there to teach. And he never said something specifically, but I just knew in the inside, don't go. And I used to always think, why not? Why? I wonder why I can't go there. I mean, it was over in India one time and didn't even go to his ministry. I mean, I wonder, why not? Why not? Well, this went on for a number of years. And then I found out, man, this guy has been into sin up to his neck for so darn long. You need to understand, it isn't, somebody can have a pretty good ministry, but you need to know how close you get to the person because of that dirt on them, that spirit that operates on them will get on you. Well, this guy here, I mean, he couldn't stay away from women. He had 30, 40, 50. You know, see, I don't need that spirit on me. Amen. It isn't a matter of this guy's... You need to be careful about what God tells you about getting around because its effect on you.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. See, I learned then. But I learned the first time the hard way because of doing that, what the problem it caused for Wanda and I. And I'm glad I learned it as a young Christian and didn't do it after that. I've gotten a lot of trouble from a lot of ministers over time because I've stayed away from things. And they all, well, what's wrong with you? It's okay. Yeah, this, that, and the other thing. And I've stayed away. Mm-hmm. You know what? And every time it turned out right. There's things you can get. There's people you can get around. There's nutty as a fruitcake in ministry. It won't affect you at all. But there's certain things that will affect you. There's certain spirits in us that people operate under. You need to understand. You need to protect yourself from. We're dealing with spirits, and people are always just dealing the natural with people. And the devil always gets the upper hand. Mm-hmm. Be careful. You protect yourself. You get sensed something up, draw back from it. You don't watch it over time. Just let it alone. Doesn't matter if everybody else says it looks good. I've seen that time and time again. People go on to looking good. I could sit down and name probably, a number of them have died now, but many of them are alive today. I could sit down and name big name ministers that jumped in and followed some things. And this crazy woman that they had, it was demonic as crazy, and they all followed after and did it. And I watched that thing go on, and all of them were ended up to the next. Oh, this is God working. This is God. And the whole thing of it is, you see these things going on out here and people chasing around after it. You got to listen. Because number one, it affects you. When people find that you do that kind of thing, you don't want to get over it. God's trying to protect you. He wants you to be sound where people can look at you and say, you know, they don't get involved in all the nuts. They don't get involved in all that crazy stuff. Because there's an effect on it. There's ministries that have gotten over to big name ministries. People love, give tons of money. They get hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars a year. And I'm going to tell you what, the minister has been in left field so many darn times. I mean, I had to deal with him one time personally and his rebellion toward other ministers. When I was in Rhema, they had me deal with him. And you know what? Just in rebellion is crazy. They ask him to do something. He won't do it. He don't care about other people. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. I mean, he's at their house. And then goes on TV and says about submission. When are you going to start? You see, you need to be careful about these things. And we need to know as Christians. I just want to encourage you. You can hear from God. You can. You can listen to God. You know, I would never try to put, if a person doesn't believe they're supposed to do something, I don't care if I know it's right or not. It's, you got to figure that one out. You got to know. It isn't up to me to say so. You have to know in your heart. You got to follow what's in your heart. See, people lots of times want to come and just, you know, they want you to just give them a canned answer where you're at. Well, where I'm at, they aren't. You know, a person may not be able to stand at certain things. There's people, I would never ask them to stand for divine healing for just without going to a doctor or something. I would never ask them to go there. I know that they need to do that. And so, I don't care if I can do it. It's about getting them their best. That's what's important. It's not about somebody getting what I think is best or whatever I know. I want, you know what? Because I want them to get blessed. And God wants to bless them. And God is always looking for an avenue to bless. You know, don't think of yourself inferior because maybe you have to go to do something. It's just like with Ward. I was just glad when Ward came back and I knew he was going there. I thought, man, whatever, I just said to him, whatever we need to do, we need to get you back and fixed. This is whatever we need to do. It doesn't matter about none of the rest of it.
Amen.
Right. It don't matter. Did I make a mistake? I don't care. All I know is my God says, I like to fix it. That's all I know. And I know he fixed me many times when I was missed it, and he fixed me. But the whole thing with this is you have to get to that point. You can go over there and feel sorry for yourself and say, nah. And I was really glad because he had been dealing with stuff for a long time. It's been going on. And it's like, man, let's get this thing straightened out. Hallelujah. I want him to be healthy and sound. You know, I want to live him. I'm going to live a long life and prosper. Hallelujah. Without the force. You know, he just used by the Holy Ghost. Okay. I want him, you know, and so God does. And that's the whole thing is we want to encourage people where they can stand. Where can you stand at? What can you do? You know, some people, you know, they sit down and, you know, they can eat a big steak in 10 minutes and another guy, he's doing little bites at a time. I don't care if it takes you 20 more bites than he does, but at least you eat the steak. You know, don't cut them up in small pieces and eat it. Whatever you do, you can have the steak. Glory to God. Don't judge yourself. Be careful about judging yourself. outside your knowledge and revelation. Don't do that to yourself. Look at yourself. Can I really believe to do this? If you can't. There's nothing wrong. When the Lord told Kenneth Hagin, I began to teach it back years ago when he spoke to me about that, because Jesus told him about, he said divine healing was healing without any kind of doctors, any kind of medicine. That's divine healing. But he said, if people need to go to a doctor, he said, you pray for them for a quick recovery. And when I heard kind of thinking, I thought, man, God's in this thing, because he had told me how much he loves to heal people. See, if a person couldn't stand, he didn't say, well, this is all you got. Now, you need to understand, if you would have went at the old Pentecostals, that's what they did. They didn't believe that God would want to help you if you went to a doctor. I'm serious. You go back to those, a lot of the people you read in the old days, and you read their books and like their stuff, they'd have thrown you out. You went to the doctor, you done messed up, man. You were just supposed to, you know. They believed you stood in God. If you didn't have enough faith, don't matter, just die and go home. You know, just that's what they believed. I'm gonna tell you what, they had some phenomenal miracles.
Amen.
I'm gonna tell you this, a lot of these people had gone to a lot of higher level of faith. But I'll tell you, they struggled to get there. Boy, I'll tell you, they went. Well, I'll tell you what, I found this out with people. It's good to live longer and trying to get up to a higher spot than try to, you know, everybody try to get to this spot and there's a good number and ain't gonna make it. I said, we're just gonna have more funerals. When I started to teach that is number one, I just want to tell you this. Don't pray for divine healing if you're gonna go to the doctor. Because that's not what you're standing for. Now this is not criticism. If you can't stand for a divine healing without any you know, natural help, big deal. Join the club. Find out what you can believe to do. It's just like from Ward's standpoint. I was so glad. Hallelujah. God blessed him with a really good doctor. And before, he wasn't getting good doctors. But God gave him a good one. Got him in the right direction, got things working, and God got smack dab in the middle of his recovery and gave him a quick recovery.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God!
Hallelujah.
Is that what we want, don't we? Amen. That's what we want. So be careful about yourself. Look at your own spirit. How far can I stand in my faith? If you can't, hey, there's things that I would like to go to a certain point, but I can't. I have to develop my faith more to get there. There's no shame in that.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
We're all in that condition. The whole thing is to do nothing. Is to sit around. No, just where can I stand in this? What can I believe God for? What really? Where am I at? This is why. See, I don't believe in doing stuff quickly. I've done this a number of times over the years. Person go in the hospital, and I just tell them, sometimes person, you know, before you just go and go do something, you sit down and figure out first what you can believe would take place. Mm-hmm. See, Wanda and I have had great success in that. Wanda's had supernatural things, recoveries and that stuff and things. She's always gotten what she's believed for. Every time. Phenomenal. She'd go and say, you know, I'm going to have an operation. I ain't going to have no pain. She goes, you're going to have no pain.
Amen.
But she could reach to there. Mm. Well, you might want to go believe God. You're not going to have any pain. It ain't going to work because you want to believe God's mom did.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yep.
If you'd see how much time she gets up and looks in the Word concerning healing. And she gets up and she does, you know. She don't wait till she feels bad.
Yeah.
And then say, oh, now I want to get some faith and lay your hand on my empty head. And we're going to get something done here. No, she just go over things and over things and write scripture. Write scripture after scripture. She'd write them out. She'll sit down and do it. Go over scripture. So if something comes, she's ready.
Amen.
She's going out. Her gun's loaded. She's shooting the devil down on the street. I mean, that's it. That's right. High noon, she's the winner. Yeah, she's the one with the boots and the hat. That's right. She's twirling her guns and smiling. But that don't just happen. But she built herself. So there's one thing, as I know, she'll say where she wants to stand. And I'll tell you, I've just watched time and time again. She knows how to make her faith work. She knows how to get that done. See, somebody said, well, I do. I want it this way or I want that. I don't care what you want.
Amen.
It's what you can believe for.
Amen.
Yes.
I've learned this. And here's a good revelation. God will do exceedingly abundantly above what you imagine or think according to the power that works in you. You might, if you will go as far as you can believe, don't be surprised you end up with more.
Amen.
But if you go for less, don't be surprised you end up with less.
Right.
Go, take your faith. Stand where you can. I will guarantee you God will do better for you.
Amen.
Just because you went as far as you could.
Amen.
I've always done. He'll do exceedingly abundantly for you. I'll step out in faith as best I can, and He's going to put icing on my cake. That's what He's going to do. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we take communion this morning. Our communion is about a wonderful covenant. You, as a Christian, are in this covenant. You're not trying to get in it. You're not trying. This is a covenant that only has blessing. That's what He got. Don't have something else into it. We're not crawling in fear to God. We're coming. These elements are to remind us about this covenant. Number one, the body of Christ Jesus took on Himself the curse. So you don't have to have the curse. And our ugly sin nature, He took care of that through the blood of Jesus and paid for it. When we come to that, you need reminded of that. The covenant is sealed. It's not going to be. I'm not trying to get into the covenant. I'm not trying to enter into something in the covenant. The covenant stands and its word is true.
Amen.
And it will do all of it. I'm reminding myself, I am in this covenant. I am in a healing covenant with God. I'm not trying to get healed. I am in the healing covenant. I'm not trying to get in the sin forgiven and whatever else covenant. It's already done. That's the covenant that you and I are in. And we're supposed to, we do it, Jesus. He did it. We remind ourselves of what He did. And this is the covenant. He is the head of the covenant. He's the high priest of the covenant. He's also the king of the covenant. Hallelujah. And we're in Him in the covenant. And you can get blessed because you're in the covenant, not because you're doing anything, everything right. It's because you're tied to the one. You are seed of the head of the covenant, just like Abraham was. And what happened to his offspring? God blessed. Do you expect any less?
No.
See, people come to the communion table many times in sorrow and, oh man, you know, this is a... No, this reminds me of who and what I... Whose covenant I'm in. Glory to God. This covenant stands. Hallelujah. It is what it is, not because I didn't seal the covenant. I didn't do a thing. God made this covenant. God the Son and God the Father got together and made this covenant. I didn't even have to do nothing about it. All I had to do is believe what they did to make it.
Amen.
And I became His seed through new birth. See, you're born into this covenant. You're an heir of the covenant. You're not trying to get some. It already belongs to you. And you're an heir. You already inherited everything. You're not going to. You inherited it all. Why? Because the guy who was the heir, leading heir of the covenant, he already died.
Amen. Oh, no.
So the Bible tells us when somebody dies, well, when someone dies, the heirship already goes out. The blessing has already been given today. This is to remind us of this great covenant and honor the one who did this for us.
Hallelujah.
Woo! He's a champion. He's wonderful. He's wonderful. So we're going to go ahead this morning.